Shavuato world. Today's daf in Masechet Menachot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is daf Mem Aleph. We're holding at the back and bottom of Mem Amud Beit, and right at Omar, Rabbi Zera, Omar of Masa, Omar Shmuel, towards the bottom. An amazing statement that Chelet Inba Mishum Kilayim Vafilu Betalit Pturah, which seems to make no sense at all. That there's no problem in wearing tzitzit that have an iser kilayim, even if there's not a chiv of talit in the beged, which makes no sense at all. What would that mean? So my talit ptura, when you say that the talit is not chayiv in tzitzit, meaning what? That it's led by shiura, it doesn't have an appropriate size yet to be able to be mechayiv in tzitzit. We know that that's not true, because Tanya, we have a braita that says specifically not like that. The braita says that a talit shakatan mitkaseh barosha v'ruba. If you have a small child, the shear of that small child would be, it's not locus, is it a shear of a child that's allowed to go out on his own, a shear of a child that has a sense of needing to be covered when he goes outside. So if he wouldn't be embarrassed to go out, and that would be fine for him, for Rosh HaVeruba, that's a machlokas, as I say, whether it means he has to be sensitive or whether it's just a question of the size of his body. So that's a machlokas. And basically, we seem to take for granted that it means around 9 years of age. So if a nine-year-old is covered mostly by it, and additionally, a 13-year-old, a gadol, would be yotzi b'derech harai. If he had to run outside for a minute to get something from the car, he would run out and he wouldn't be embarrassed for a moment. You know, I would take a chance, run out, just wearing my tzitzit, my beged. So then that size beged is chayevet b'pitzitzit. But if ina katan mitkaseh b'rosh v'rubo, so then if it's not big enough, even if Lamaisa, a 13-year-old, would go out with it to run out for a moment, it would still be potter. And this is true vis-a-vis Kilayim as well. So now, what did we mean by this is true vis-a-vis Kilayim? So we asked over there, Vavinaba, when you say V'chein le'inin Kilayim, do you mean V'chein le'inin Iser Kilayim? Which is basically what we think that Rabbi Zera is saying, that in other words, if it isn't this minimum size, so then you can have kilayim in that beged. Is that what it means? There's a beferish in Mishnah in kilayim that this idea of going out wearing something that's good enough to wear, and that's the shear, but if it's not good enough, there's no such shear by kilayim. The slightest bit of kilayim is usher. So then that cannot be what it meant. And Abraham Nachman by Yitzchak explained, when it says v'chein in the kilayim, he meant that the same question would be the same shear about having a sadin betzitzit, that if it's large enough for that shear, which is that the cotton is mitkaseh b'rosh v'rubo, and the gadol wouldn't be embarrassed to go out b'ra'roi, so then that would be also okay. It wouldn't be a violation, at least. But if it's not that shear, so then, dafka, you would be in violation of the Isser of Kilayim. So it's exactly the opposite. So Kilayim actually would apply in a beged that is potter from tzitzit. So why did Rabbi Zera, what was he referring to when he says, yeah, even if the beged is potter, what do you mean even if the beged is potter? No, you know what he meant? He meant, which is very consistent with what he said yesterday, what he meant was, Betura was that if you put in tzitzit to a beged that already had tzitzit in it, which we learned yesterday. That's one of the chidushim that he said when we talked about it, Lagabe, the dinner of Baltosif, remember? So if your matil tzitzis into a beged that already had kilayim, so then even though these tzitzit are actually kilayim, so you'd say, well, so I don't need them. So I'm wearing kilayim and it's tzitzis, which the tzitzis are not chayev. So then it doesn't matter, because once the Torah was matir tzitzis by kilayim, like we said before in Taisus, that it means bichlal, there's no din of kilayim on tzitzis. Since these tzitzit are already Chayiv in the tzitzit, and they have kilayim, as we said before in Tosfos, kilayim b'tzitzit are hutra, but not the chuya. And therefore, it would mean I don't have to worry about it. But wait a minute. I mean, so then Rabbi Zeira is just repeating what he said yesterday? I mean, you're saying basically the same thing he said yesterday. The same way we said yesterday, if you're a matil kilayim, if you're matil tzitzit in a beged mitzuyetzet, that then when you take off the old one, this constitutes the kashrus of the tzitzit. So then he's saying the same thing over here, essentially, that these are also tzitzit. So why did he have to say it again? So he's repeating halacha that he already said before. You're right. Because he said one, we figured out that the other one would be also, would follow. Now Rashi learns that that means since he said the maimer that we said yesterday, we would follow with this. That it would mean l'gabi kilayim also, that there would be no problem of kilayim. But Tosfos says it doesn't make sense because what we just said was in the name of Shmuel. So how in the world could we say chodem go chaverta if Rabbi Zera said it on his own yesterday? How did we throw in Shmuel all of a sudden? It must be the other way around. That if he was quoting Rabbi Zera Shmuel, so then that would mean that that would be the basis, and that then we could go ahead and assume that he also holds that himself. So we would have to learn out from that this din. That makes more sense to me, says Tosfos. Okay, that's Chodim Echal Chavret. Tanu Rabbana, it's not another issue. Now, this is an issue that we raised before when somebody sews down the beged with stitching, sews down the corner of his beged, and we said over there, it doesn't matter, because we assume, if you remember the Svar over there was, we assume, like the Gemara said, if he really wanted to get rid of it, he would have cut it off. And if he doesn't cut it off, and he still leaves it there, then the mashmaut is that it's still part of the beged. So he doesn't potter himself by doing that. That's what we said earlier. Now here we're saying, and Rashi says, I don't understand how these two sugyas fit with each other, but I mean, here we're talking about where the entire beged was a very long beged, and it was doubled over, and then you put the tzitzit in the new doubled over beged. So what's the din? So talit kfula, you wear that talit folded up. So Rabbi Shimon says, well, you're pater, because I mean it's too big for you to wear with the whole talis. That it's going to be hanging down. It's going to be dragging along the floor. So you fold it. And now the question is, you've got still four corners. I mean, at least the place where you folded it on, that new crease should be a corner, right? So the Tanakhama says, yeah, the new piece, that fold is actually the two other corners. And the other corner is the other corner. So basically put these stitches on that side. But Rabbi Shimon says, no, if you would take that talit and unfold it after you put in tzitzit in the middle, so then the tzitzit are going to be in the middle of the talit. So you can't be putting the tzitzit in this talit on the fold, because essentially that's the equivalent of putting it in the middle of the talit. Okay, so why does it use the lotion of, if what he's saying is you should put it on the full ends and not on the middle, it's a very strange that it uses the lotion of poter. Lotion of poter is mashmi, is completely poter. But anyway, this is the way Rashi seems to be learning it. There are other pshatim that explain why he says poter. But in any event, if he did, and sewed it shut. So how about that? Shavim she'im kefala, and then he now has a very thick talis that he sewed all along, at least one of the sides. So now it's not something that he could simply disconnect. Okay, so in that case, everybody's made that you would put in talit, tzitzit, in that, even though had it been unfolded, it would be the middle, Rabbi Shimon is made that you put two at the far end, obviously, and two in the new crease area, which is the new end of it. Well, obviously, I understand. Of course, if you were tofer it, I mean, so then it's just like a thick material, essentially, right? So tefara pshita. Why do I have to say that? No, I mean, it's not literally sewed. If you pinned it up, so lo tzricha denakta b'sicha, you didn't really sew it. So that's one approach. Other approach, Rashi says, sicha could also mean it is stitched, but it's stitched with basting stitches instead of with like thin stitches that are usually, because remember, the basting stitch is usually what you put in order to take out after you're ready to tailor it properly. But afal pi kein, it's still Rabbi Shimon would be made in this case that it's considered to be a talit like that. Now, Rabba Bar Huna, he comes to the house of Rava Bar Rav Nachman, and he sees that Rava actually had a talit like that, and he had put it over the folded talit. He put it over his head as usual. And there were basically tzitzit on those two corners that were folded over, that he put it over his head. And then he put the other tzitzit on the corners that weren't connected at a fold. So then when the talis unfolded, which is what happened over here, so then it basically covered him completely, but then it basically had the tzitzit in the middle of the talit, which is the problem that we were talking about. And he had put in the tzitzit in the kfila, tzav lechuti ilu, and then ifshita, okay, he didn't do it on purpose, but when it actually unfolded while he was davening, otachutavakamlahadiresha. So now all of a sudden he's got these middle chutim, and they're like on his head at this point. So there were no other tzitziot. It was mamish in the middle of the bega. So he says to him, Rabbi Baruna says to him, this is not the knaf that the Torah was talking about. It's in the middle. How is that a knaf? So therefore, he was tining the same way Rabbi Shimon tina. You have to have it all the way on the far corners, even though right now it's folded, but you have to assume that it's actually going to be unfolded. So that Lamais, if he would have noticed, maybe he did notice, but he didn't want to say it until he could point to the reality and say, look at you. Look in the mirror. Look what you look like. You're not wearing tzitzis. I mean, obviously, he would have held that before it unfolded, too. So, okay, so Rava Rav Nachman took off that talis and throws it off, and he puts on another normal talis. So he also shatye, he kasi glima achrita. Omalei, so Rava Baruna said, oh, so now you think that everything's hunky-dory, because you took off your talis, and now you put on another talis. You obviously think that you don't have to worry about this talis because you're only chayav to put on tzitzis on the talis that you're wearing. But that's a big mistake. Mi savet chovat gavrehu? You think that the talis is a chiyav on the person who's wearing the talit? The talit is a chiyav on the talit itself. If you own a talit, we're going to see this machlokas about klei kufsa, it's called, kelim that are kept in a drawer. Are they chayav in tzitzit, or are they only chayav if you wear them? Okay, so this is going to be a machlokas later on, but he holds that the tzitzit are chovat talit, and therefore you have to, anyway, you're going to have to handle this talit. So don't think that throwing it off is a simple solution, because you're going to have to fix it no matter what, even if you're not feeling, if you're going to be wearing it. So zirah amileh, go out and take care of it. Where are you putting it there? You're mechuyav on a talis. So don't, you're not helping anything by putting on another talis. So shulema, can we bring a raya for this unusual, sounds very strange to us, that a talit is chayef on its own to have tzitzit in it, and it doesn't matter whether you're wearing it or not? Well, remember we had the Gemara before about the Chassidim HaRishonim? So the Chassidim HaRishonim, so they put in the tchelet as soon as it had a shear of a beged, like the dinim of tuma, so it was three etzba'ot, so they said, well, at this point, we're going to put in tzitzit, which we used before as a kasha on the sugya of tasa v'lumina also, if you recall. So they would put in talit and tzitzit right then and there. So then, why would they do such a crazy thing? I mean, obviously, can't wear it. It can't be a talis. It's going to be mechuyev. So no matter what svara you said before that they did this, it's still obviously going to be based on the fact that the chiyuv is on the talis, not on the person, because the person can't possibly wear this talis yet of three etzba'ot. So apparently, they held that it's a din in the talit. But you can't bring a raya from chassidim. I guess our Rebbe is not here, so we can get away with the same mistakes, right? Can't bring a raya from chassidim. These guys are all crazy. They're machmirayim and afshayim. Okay, so they want to take into consideration even the inyanim of the talis itself and so on. Okay, but lemaisa, there's some pretty strong arguments against Rabba Bar Huna. I mean, I don't know if any of you have ever argued with a malach. I mean, the only one I knew that used to do that kind of stuff was Meir Goldberg. But I mean, here Rav Katina meets up with this malach, and Rav Katina has been wearing a coat all winter. It's like one of our kinds of coats that are not chayev and tzitzit because of the rounded ends on top. And in the summertime, he'd been wearing a sadin, and we know you can't put, because of the gzeira, we said yesterday, you can't put your tzitzit in a sadin either. So the malach says to him, well, if it isn't little Katina, Katina. So malacha ashgecher of Katina, and now it's summer, and now he's wearing his sadin, and he's got no tchelas in the sadin. Okay, because they asered it, so he had no tzitzis. Omar Lay, so he said to him, Katina, Katina, you wear a sadina bekaita and a sarba bezito. Look at this. You wear linen in the summertime, which you can't put into tzitzit into because of the gzeira, and then you wear a coat in the summer, in the wintertime, and you can't put in tzitzit in there. So what's going to happen with the mitzvah? Tzitzit matei aleha. What's this? Eshel makes no sense here, but tzitzit matei aleha. So how are you going to be mekayim your mitzvah of tzitzit? Never. Omar Leis, Rav Katina says to him, what's this your business? Anishito ahasei. I don't understand. This is not, I'm not being mevatel and ahasei. I just wasn't mekayim myself. I didn't buy something that needed tzitzis. So, I mean, obviously, as Tosis points out, of course, minashamayim l'manish on an essay, even a bezin shomata will beat a person to be mekayim a mitzvah essay. But this isn't a mitzvah essay. This means to put yourself in a position where you should be chayav a mitzvah essay. That's what it means. So the Malach said this. He says, I don't understand. I'm chayav to buy a beged so that I should be wearing it. Well, I could tell you, if they're really angry up there, sometimes we get orders to take these guys out. I mean, you don't want to be one of those guys, do you? It's a good idea to be wearing your talis. So bisbanda ikaritcha, if there's anger in the Bezlin Shomala, then we might be manish on this. So you gotta make sure you cover yourself, Now, if you're gonna tell me that wearing a talis is a mitzvah on a person, okay, you say, okay, you should be wearing tzitzis and you're not wearing tzitzis. But if you're telling me the din of tzitzis in a beged is a din on the talis, let the malach go argue with the talis. What's he arguing with Katina? Why am I mechuyev? I'm mechuyev. I don't have any begadim like this. And so what's your taina? So obviously it has to be fundamentally a chovas gavra. But if you're going to tell me it's a chovav the talit, so I understand. I mean, the talit is not. You're gonna yell at the talit for not wearing tzitzis. I mean, this talit is not higher than tzitzis. So what would be the meaning? It doesn't make sense to expect me to go out and make sure I get such a talit so that this talit will have tzitzis in it. Hashem came. I understand that if I am the person who is being mekayim the mitzvah tzitzis and my wearing it is what's gerim the chiyuv of tzitzis. I understand that it would be meaningful. You do? Why do you understand that? Elamai chovas gavro. I don't understand. Even if it was a chiyuv on the person, the Rachmana is bechayev you in a talit only if that talit is chayev. I mean, even if it's a chovas gavra, where do we get the idea that it's a chovas gavra to be mechayev yourself in a talit by buying the right kind? That doesn't make sense. Because nehida chayev Rachmana ki mirchse talit about chiyuv. Even if it is a chovas gavra, where do we get the idea that if you are wearing a talit, which isn't chayiv, so the Torah is going to expect you to make sure that you go out and make yourself chayiv? Do we have such a concept of be'ida and ritcha? Does everybody go out and buy themselves a chamor so that they can be chayiv and pet a chamor? Does everybody go out and buy a farm so that they should grow things, that they would be mekayim, you know, the mitzvahs of afrosh? I mean, I don't understand. Am I mechuyev not to buy tefuah that was mufresh bimenu, you know, trumas and maizers, so I can take them trumas and maizers myself? I mean, who ever heard of these things? I never heard of it. Why are you upset with me? Even if it is a chuvas gavra, it doesn't make any sense. Elohi kamarle. So it must be that essentially what the Malach was upset about is he says, look, something's very fishy around here. I mean, how is it that you are a guy that never manages to wear something that's chayav and tzitzis, you know? So it looks like, tatz dikei lemiftar, nafshecha mitzitzit. You're finding all kinds of tactics, you know, in which you can make sure that you're never chayav and tzitzis. That looks very bad up there, you know? And they want to find people to get, if you're angry, to find people that deserve to get smacked up. It's people that seem to be avoiding mitzvahs, going out of their way to avoid mitzvahs. That is terrible. And that's what the issue is. Now, as Tosis points out, Rashi's gears over here really is Ella. Ella, which means we're dropping the entire issue. So in other words, this has nothing to do with the question of whether it's Chayvas Gavra or whether it's Chayvas Talis, because that's what Ella always means. So, yeah, forget about it. This right about the Malach. The Malach is irrelevant over here. But Tosfos says his Girsa doesn't have Ella. His Girsa just has Hachikomale. Tatzdeke lemifter nafshko mitzitzit. And therefore, it should still remain as a Raya that it must be a Chovas Gavra, because why would we even be upset about that if it's essentially a din in the talit? So that's, Tosu says we would still come out from here that it would be a chovas gavra, whereas Rashi says it's a totally different issue. So that means the way that Rashi is understanding it, bichlal, I mean, all we're talking about over here is specifically going out of your way not to be mekayim the mitzvah, but we wouldn't say that there's an inyan of Idan the Ritcha. By the way, Mr. Gavi, sweetheart, if you could just write down Idan the Ritcha, because that's very, very, comes up in a lot of places, La Halacha, where people bring this story of the Malach, and they use this as a taina that it could be that you would be chayev if it's a time of Ritcha. So that is sort of a word to remember. But anyway, so halacha lemaisa, it certainly seems from here that there's no chiyuv to run out and to do this. Nonetheless, in terms of halacha lemaisa, the Rambam says that a chassid, a person who is zoyer on things, is a yarei shamayim, so he should always see to it that he has a beged that's chayev in tzitzis. And then when it comes to the zman of tefillah, someone who is not covering himself with a talit, there he has to be zoyer. He doesn't use the word zoyer. Earlier he said a person should see to it that he gets a talit. But b'shas tefillah, it's mamish a gnai gadol for a talmid chacham to be mispalo without being mechusa with a talit. So I don't know this. The business about where the Ashkenazim got this idea that you don't give younger children talitot. Shouldn't say the Ashkenazi, because the German stuff can do. But anyway, those minhagim among minhag Ashkenaz, where it would come from, certainly is not the Pashtus in the Gemara anywhere. Right. Okay. Lovely sukkah. Idan teritcha. אומר כתוב דיבר כיס, אומר שמוע, כלי קופסה חייבים בציצית. So this is the, basically what we spoke about now. This nafkamina, is there a din of a chiev on a talis that is being kept in a drawer? So according to Shmuel, klei kufsa are chayavim betzitzis, even if you're not wearing them. So in other words, he agrees with Rabbi Baruna, and tzitzis are chiev whether you're wearing them or not, because it's a din in arba kanfot kesutcha, as long as it's roli to be techaseba, that yes. Okay, we'll see more about this later as a machlokes tomorrow. This is a very interesting sugya. This is talking about someone who made himself a tachrichin to be buried in. And it's interesting that the Gemara talks about specifically a zakein who would make tachrichin for himself, which is mashma that it's not something that is appropriate for someone who is young. And in such a case, he doesn't put a tzitzit into that beged. My timer, because it's not mechuyev in tzitzit, because it says asher techaseba amar achmana. And this is not meant for wearing while he's alive, in which case this beged, which is techrichin, is lavli kasuye avida. It isn't meant to be worn in his lifetime, and therefore it would be potter from tzitzis. But by Hishaita, when that person actually dies, Vadai Raminanlai, if we're going to bury him in these tachrichin, we're certainly going to put in tzitzit into those tachrichin. Because if we don't, it's very insulting. And that's a klal that we have. Again, Mr. Gabi, I think that you wrote this down, but write it anyway. Loeg l'rash cheref oseyu. So we have had this klal. We spoke about this back, and even on the beginning in Masechet Brachot, about Loeg L'Rash. So to show a person who was Nifter that he is no longer Mechuyev in Mitzvahs is very insulting. It's as if the living laugh at the dead and say, ha-ha, we can do Mitzvahs, you can't. And therefore, you should make sure that you put in Tzitzit before burying him. Now, L'maisa, in terms of the Minag, bottom line is, we do put in tzitzit, but we passel one of those tzitziot, or we tie one of the corners, where the person is really not chayev in the mitzvot. It's actually an interesting story that happened with the Yisod V'Sharesh HaAveda. So he had left the tzava that he wants the dafka to have kosher tzitzis in his talit, but they bury him in that they shouldn't passel his talit. So, okay, so the president said, okay, look, if he insists, you know, we won't do our minag. But what happened was, while they were lowering his body, the tzitzit tore, they got on something and they tore. So then they passed, well, we're not going to put a new tzitzit for him. So anyway, it ended up being mekuyam. I saw there was a remez in the hands of Moshe Reuven, which looked like he wanted to say something. Boy da mina ba milta lule de mistafina. So the question is, do we go bus the lule de mistafina, or do we go bus the boy lamemra? Which one should
I was confused that Arminag in the Gemara Brachas tells us that we're supposed to hide our own seats.
Our own seats.
In the presence of the maid. So
it's not a stira. If we actively dress a person with a beged that doesn't have tzitzit, that's a direct stira, right? L'maisa, he knows perfectly well, he's not being b'kayim any mitzvahs, so it still is insulting. So in either direction, we don't insult. Omer Rachova, Omer Rav Yehuda. A talit that was torn above the sholosh etzba'ot. So since above sholosh etzba'ot, we're going to see that is not an area that you're allowed to put tzitzit in. The tzitzit have to be within shalosh etzbot of the corner. So if you leave some of the chut hatfirah on that level, which is more than shalosh etzbot from the corner, you're not going to use it for the tzitzit. Therefore, you won't get into the problem of Ta'aseh V'lo Min Ha'atzri, and therefore there's no reason not to actually sew it. But once it is Tok Shalosh, then Lo Yitfor. Because then we're going to be worried that you may end up using it. And we said that it's a problem because that's not what you're supposed to be using for your Talit. Tanya Nami Hachi. Talit Shinikra Chutz L'Shalosh Yitfor. Tok Shalosh. Rabbi Meir Omer Lo Yitfor. Okay, so apparently what we're saying over here is that Rabbi Meir goes along with this psak. But I say the Gemara elsewhere changes the shitas. The shavim, now everybody agrees, both Rabbi Meir and the Chachamim, that you cannot fix this by bringing another piece of beged that already has the tzitzit on it. And I don't care how big that beged is. Shavim shelo yavi afilo amal ama. Forget about within shalosh. Even if it's mamish, a large piece of cloth, and it has tzitzit on it from a different beged that was actually made properly with its tzitzit, I don't care how big it is, you can't simply add it and make this the new kanfei bigdeihem, because it says v'asu al kanfei bigdeihem. And since you didn't make this al kanfei bigdeihem, you made these as the new kanfei bigdeihem, it would be ta'aseh v'lo min ha'asui, because there was no asiya at all. But also everybody's made that you could bring the treles alone. In other words, you could take out the treles from somewhere that it was, as long as you don't bring the whole beged together with the corners, and then you could put these treles to the newly fixed beged that you sewed, but you have to make sure that that trelet wasn't cut off of the other talit. Now, you can't cut it off, but you can undo it. So you've got to have your talit, that your shear of treles, that this is a completely new asiya. So what's the chiddush over here? That even if it was mufseket on the bottom and it was kosher in the other beged because it was called also just the leftovers. We said before that there's a din of garmid, and that if you have something that's left over, then it's kosher. If originally it was the shear. But over here, this is not considered to be the gamudim that would be kosher, because you're making a completely new asiya in the second talit. So you can't say, I'm going to be semech on the treles that was kosher in this talit, since it was made on that talit, lechatchila, and rely on that it was originally tzitzit, so now I can move it over to this talit. No. They are now just threads of trelet. I don't care where they come from. And you're making a new asiya on the kanfei beged that you now have. And therefore, they have to be the full shear. And they're not called garmudim at all. That's the chiddush of the Gemara. But wait a minute. You say I'm allowed to bring the trelet from another beged? Does that mean I'm going to have tomorrow this big machlokas about whether matirin mi beged le beged at all? We're going to get to soon, actually. The first stage. So can you take talit from one beged to another beged? It says over here, you can. Well, maybe it's talking about over here that the first beged actually wore down. Dilma de Ibelai, it's no longer a beged. It got so worn down and you can't use its trelet. So you could take the trelet out of there because that's not considered to be matirin mi beged la beged. So that's no raya. Turn it up on it. How about a talit that is made kula tchelet? Okay, so we spoke about this yesterday, where we were talking about this guy that came by with this beautiful beged shekula tchelet, and he had tzitzit that were tchelet. Now, lemaisa, if the din is that you need, and this is what this braita holds, that you need to have two separate types of colorations on your talit. So even though, yes, the normal is the min kanaf, and on that min kanaf, you wrap the trelis, which, by the way, again, is so mashma like the Rambam's beautiful tzitzit. You have the ptilim that you put in the kanaf, and you just wrap around them with your trelis. Al tzitzita kanaf, right? That's the al tzitzita kanaf. You see the tzitzita, the kanaf, all the way down along the entire edge. So it's beautiful, and it's wrapped with the tchelet, which is what the Torah says. Take the chuta tchelet and wrap it around the tzitzita kanaf, the tzitzita kanaf for the white tzitzit. Okay. So now, the bottom line is, though, that the Torah essentially, by using that example of having a knaf, which is lavan, and tzitzit, which are tchelet, there's also a remez there. This is how Rashi understands the sugya, along with many Rishonim, that the sugya is saying, despite the fact that we said before, tziva isn't koveya, that you do have a chiyav of having two different types of colorations. And therefore, you cannot use the same color for your lavan threads that you use for your tchelet threads. In which case, if the min kanaf is tchelet, then the other color would have to be some other color besides tchelet, because otherwise you're going to be utilizing the same color across the board. So if the beged was a different color, so then you would use the color of the beged. But if over here it's a talit, which is kula tchelet, you can use any other color that you want to be the equivalent of the lavan, except for kala ilan. Because since the kala ilan, as we said, is the precise chemical color of the tchelet, it just is a different dye binder than the tchelet. So because of that, you would end up having two of the chiyuvim being exactly the same color. And you can't have the lavan being the same color. So therefore, it must be that they can't be tchelet, but they could be any other tchelet, any other color that you want. So you can make them whatever. Make them orange and tchelet. Very interesting, hippie tzitzis, and that's the way you're supposed to make them. But you can't use the kala ilan. You can't use the indigo dye, because that is indistinguishable by your eye, and therefore will be the same color. Ask the Gemara, what about the Braita? Now, this is also a Braita. It's very unusual to say, what about a Braita to a Braita, to ask Meisve, but it basically means Romilin. We seem to have a steer over in the Braita. Talit ein poter ba ela mina. So if you have a normal talit, then you make the other threads the same color that the baguette is. So if you had, let's say, an orange talit, so you would make your lavan would be orange. If it would be red, then you would make it red. And that way you would have two red threads and two tchelet threads. But what about if it's kula tchelet? So then you have to bring a different color. So you bring the tchelet and some other color, and your teleba, in order at least to be mekayim, the general idea that there's two colors in your tzitzit. But the one thing that you shouldn't bring is kala ilan. But if you did bring the kala ilan, it would be kosher. So then that, according to this, it is kosher if you bring kala ilan. So how do you explain that? Omer Nachum by Yitzhak, there's no problem at all. It depends how many chutim you have in this beged. In the first price, we're talking about regular tzitzit, where guys only putting in four threads. So if he's only putting in four of the ptilim, two of those ptilim must be a different color. Masha Inkin, here we're talking about that the talit has eight threads. So how can you possibly make eight threads? Because the Torah never said you can't have more than four threads. The Torah only said that you need this minimum of gedil gedilim, which we said is four. Okay, so you can make your tzitzit the way the Taimanim make the lulav, you know, with 100 hadasim. Looks really nice. Okay, so now you're putting in eight threads into your tzitzit. And now, if you have eight threads, so then you don't have them all the same color, because you started off with tcheles and red. Now it's saying that if you brought for your extra threads kala ilan, that's not a problem. But we are actually worried about the fact, dechatchila, that if you do that, then someone might think that the kala ilan is tchelet, And if they think that, and they would be matir the Chala Ilan and use it for another beget, thinking it's Treles, they would end up being over on wearing Kilayim. Because let's say they use that in a beget Shalpishtim, so then it'll be Kilayim. Or let's say they accidentally took out the real Treles from this beget, and this beget of Pishtim, and they left in Chala Ilan, which is wool, so then they'd be wearing this beget. But one way or the other, they may really mess things up. Hey, wait a minute. So if we're worried about this, does that mean that you're allowed to take the tzitzit from one beged to another beged since we're making such a fuss over it? So shema mina matir mi beged le beged? No. Why? It doesn't say you can. It just says you got to worry that maybe somebody will. Dilma di avad. Obviously, we could have said a very simple answer. We could have said, well, we said before, if the beged wears out, that you can even do it lechatchila, according to everybody. Okay, so the Rishonim explained that that's so unusual that we would not make a gzeira based on a beged wearing out to that extent that it's no longer usable for tzitzit. So therefore, it's mashma that you should be able to. And the easiest answer is to say, yeah, we're worried that people will do it even though it's usur. So now let's get to the question. Once we raise this question about whether matir mi beged le beged, it's fascinating that we have another issue that is very nogea that, which always goes together, which is whether you can light a Hanukkah menorah from one light to the other light. And those two things always go together with something that doesn't seem related, but these three Piskei Halachas are all very unusual in that we paskin like Shmuel and not like Rav. Remember, normally Shmuel is the King Elazar to all of you Tolkien lovers. He was called Elazar. Why is he called Elazar? He's called Elazar because Elazar means not for Isser, only for Momon. So we paskin like Shmuel, usually only in Dine Momonis and not in Dine Isser Veheter. This is a question of Isser Veheter, these three halachas. And nonetheless, we paskin like Shmuel. So these three halachas go together. What are these three halachas? So Rav Amar, Ein Matir Mi Beged LeBeged. Shmuel Amar, Matir in the Beged LeBeged. In this case, Rav Amar, Ein Madlikim Mi Ner LeNer. You can't light one Hanukkah light from another Hanukkah light. Now, remember, this was a machlokes, whether we're talking about Mishum Akhushe Mitzvah, or we're talking about Mishum Bizui Mitzvah. If we're talking about Mishum Bizui Mitzvah, what it would mean is, you can't take a toothpick, light the toothpick from one Hanukkah light, and then light the other one with the toothpick. But you would be allowed to light one of the nerahs from another lit ner. That you could do. But the other shita is that, no, it's actually a problem. It's a kushe mitzvah. So if you have a burning candle, then using that candle to light another candle is going to be sort of make it dim at that moment until everything starts up again. So that's also usur. So then that's part of the machlokas. Which one of these is usur and which one is Shmuel actually matir? Shmuel matir even using the toothpick? And if you hold that the iser over there was in terms of the toothpick, then Shmuel was talking about you can be matir even with the toothpick. Lamaisa, we are actually, the meaning is to be careful. There's no clear-cut psak in the Shulchan Aruch, but we're back, but not to do it with a toothpick. So Shmuel Amar, Madlika Miner Lener. Rav Amar, Ein Halacha Rabbi Shimon Begrira. One of the most important halachas in all of Din of Shabbos, of course, is Rabbi Shimon's psak, that a davar she'ena miskaven, unless it's an actual psik resha, a davar she'ena miskaven is mutter, which is the basis of all of our hanhaga on Shabbos. And that's how we paskin. So you can do things where there might be an iser malacha that would be happening, but there's no, your intent is not to do the malacha. And as long as it's not going to vadai happen, so you're allowed to do that thing. That would be Rabbi Shimon's psak about grira. What was that psak? Because Rabbi Shimon said that you're allowed to be ger adam, mita, kise, visaf, so you can drag a bed on a floor. And of course, in those days, the floors are on the outside where you're not actually dragging it on tile. You're dragging it on a floor that you might actually dig into if you carry it, you know, in a way that it'll dig. As long as your kavana is not digging and it's just to drag it, which is grira, it's mutter. And Shmuel says that that's how we paskin. And Rav says it's not the way we paskin. And this is the reason we bring it all together, because Amar Abaye, you should know that everything that my Rebbe did, which is Rabbah, everything that Rabbah did, he always paskined like Rav, Benogea, Oli Surim. But there were only three things that he did like Shmuel. He was Matir mi Beged LeBeged, he was Madlik mi Ner LeNer, and he paskined Alokhak Rebbe Shimon B'Grira. The Tanya, what is that machlokas about Grira? Rabbi Shimon Omer, Gorer Adam Mita Kisei V'Safsal U'Bevad Shelo Yitkaven La'asot Harit. So as long as he has no intention to drag something in a way that could make, which if it's indoors, which could make binyan, or outdoors, which would be harisha. So that's not what the person is interested in, and it doesn't even have to happen. And therefore, it's called adover she'eno miskaven, and it's not something that you can predict is definitely going to happen. Since you can't predict it, so memela, it would be okay. Now, talking about the problem of using kala ilan, there's a problem of giving in your expensive talit to the cleaners. Because if you give it to the cleaners, how do you know that what you got back was the same talit that you gave in terms of the chutim? What if it got torn and the guy puts in kala ilan instead? Or maybe he wants to use the very expensive treles and replace. I mean, would you give a diamond ring into some five and dime store to tell you whether it's a real diamond or not? Then they go to the back room and then they bring it back to you and they say, yeah, it's a real diamond, whatever. Meanwhile, the diamond's no longer there. Instead, they put in a piece of glass. So the same thing can happen over here. You're going to bring it into the dry cleaners. Some of these dry cleaners are making a big business out of selling treles. So how do you avoid that? Rav Yehuda, he wasn't harshish. And he was moser le'ktsara. He would give it over to a dry cleaner and he didn't think that it would tear and he would put it something instead. Rav Chanina would actually make, as some people do just to prevent their tzitzit from getting ruined in the laundry, he would make it into a sisa, which is tie them all together. So you see people that do, you take your tzitzit, fold them over five times, tie it up so that they can't just roll around in the washing machine or in the dryer and they're not going to get all entangled. So that's what he used to do. And that way they won't tear. And Ravina, chayet le'necha, he would actually, as you'll see on many tzitzit on the beged, they put not only this additional layer around where the tzitzis are, but they also have a little pouch. That pouch, you could stick your tzitzit into the pouch. Well, he used to sew the pouch closed, actually, to make sure that it wouldn't open up in the laundromat. And then he would reopen it after he got them out. But he used to make very certain that they weren't going to be damaged. Tanya Rabbana. Now, let's talk about halacha l'maisa in terms of how many strings you put into the tzitzis, how close to the edge do you put them in, how long do they have to be. We've been assuming that we know the halachas of all of this. It turns out there's a lot of missing material. So, kama chutinu noten, first of all, how many threads go into the tzitzit? So, Beit Shammai says what we've been saying all along. Four threads, which we learned out from Gedil and Gedilim. So, since Ein Gedil Pachas Bishnayim, if there's Gedilim, there must be Arba. But Beit Hillel says, no, only three is necessary, because they understand Gedil, a real braid, does not just have two strings going around each other. A braid needs three strings. And as far as the Gedilim that we mentioned, that's just a reference to the four corners. So you need to put Gedilim, plural, but each one of those Gedilim is only a Gedil, and you can make a braid with three strings. So therefore, he comes out with three. You only need three strings. Okay. Kama te'em mishulesha. Some advocates say, Mishul Shelet. How long should this be hanging down, this tzitzit that you put in? Beit Shammai Omrim Arba. Well, it needs to hang down Four etzba'ot, if it's a reference, this is how the Rabbeinu Tam learns. The four etzba'ot is a reference to the Gedil has to be four etzba'ot. If the Gedil has to be four etzba'ot, and remember we said earlier that the Noye Tzitzis is for the Gedil to be one third, and then the anaf that comes out of the Gedil, which are the loose threads, that is to be two thirds, which would mean that you expect the Gedil of four to carry along an anaf of eight. And that gives you a total of Yud Beit Etzba'ot, which we've been speaking about all along, which is the Shita of the Rabbeinu Tam, which is the way we're noyeg. And you need, therefore, a total of 12 Etzba'ot. Whereas Beit Hillel says that what you need over here is only three Etzba'ot to let it hang down. And the three that we were talking about before, what are these three etzba'ot? How do we measure an etzba? An etzba is one-fourth of the normal tefach, which means that it is one thumb. So we measure the tefach with four gudalim. The gudal itself is measured from the not the joint, but rather the thin part, the thinnest part above the joint of the gudal. That width of that area is considered to be one-fourth of a tefach. Now, you could also, as we're going to see, you could also measure a tefach with your other fingers. So if you use your pinky, then it would be six. Six pinkies equal a tefach. But so what he's talking about is the normal achas bi-arba, and therefore he's letting you know that when we said sholosh etzba'ot, we meant sholosh gudalim. Omer of Papa, let's just clarify this, you know. A tefach d'oraisa can be measured in different ways. If you're going to be using your thumb, so then it would be four thumbs. Arba b'gudal. If you want to measure your pinky, then it would be sheet biktana. You would need six pinkies, and it would be five with your index finger, which is your third finger. So it would be chamesh petilta. So with the third finger, but some of the gears are etz petilta, it would be the five. So it's either four, five, or six, but when we normally say an etzba, we're referring to the etzba, which is the one-fourth, and therefore it's a reference to the gudal. Amravuna. Look, halacha l'maisa, these were ancient machlokasin. You know, things have progressed quite a bit with the later poskim. In our days, of course, that's the Amoraim. So Amravuna, the psak halacha is, you need four tzitziot. They need to be within four etzba'ot of the edge of the beged, and they need to be hanging down four gudalim. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you need actually only three of the tzitziot to be put in, which gives you six threads, like Beit Hillel said, and they do need to be shalosh from the edge, and they do need to hang mishulashet shalosh. So there's two ways of reading that. If it's mishuleshet, it would mean one-third, or mishul shelet would be how long it hangs down. The way the Rabbeinu Tam understands it, it means the one-third, which is gedil, as opposed to the two-thirds, which is enough, is four, or is three, depending on the shita over here. And says Rav Papa, well, we've progressed beyond those arguments. Let me tell you the final halacha. The final halacha is, you need four threads for your tzitzit. They have to be within three etzba'ot of the edge of the beged. And they have to hang down, or one-third of the total has to be, four gudalim. Which is, basically, that would be the way the Rabbeinu Tam reads it. That means out of the total of 12, the one-third would be the four. Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that you have like a shear for tzitzis? I thought there was no shear for tzitzis. I thought like tzitzis is just something or another. Are you trying to tell me the isla shiura? But what about the braita? The braita analyzes the word tzitzit. So what is this meaning of tzitz? Well, tzitz means something that is sticking out. That's all. It's like a yotze. So like, yeah, you have something, you have a beged that has like a fringe sticking out. Well, that's tzitzit. Look, I mean, there's no shear to that. Ain't tzitzit alamashahu. And it would mean, I mean, it says tzitzit roshi. What's tzitzit roshi? That's talking about Vayikacheni b'tzitzit roshi. The Malach picks up the navi with the tzitzit rosho. I mean, it's not talking about a temani tzitzit, you know. It just means it by my hair. So there doesn't need to be this big, beautiful gedil. So that would mean that it doesn't matter what the shear is. They changed the girsa to Yonatan ben Betera, and they both sit there. Tzitzis elo shiur, and the same thing is true about a lulav. A lulav has no shiur. So I mean, does that mean there's no shiur at all? Get out of here! How can it mean there's no shiur at all? Of course, it doesn't mean that. It means if you're a wild guy and you like to wear tzitzis that are 3 miles long just to prove that you're better than the next guy, there's no shiur lamala. You can have the longest tzitzis in the world if you want. You can go for a Guinness Book of World Records with your tzitzis, and you can really go for it, which is the same thing it means with the lulav. You have some of these guys that carry 5-story-high lulav to the kotel, right? The only problem they have is that the Arabs grab them at the top. So there's no shear. That doesn't mean there's no shear that they could be any little bit. Yeshna shear lamata. There's obviously the minimum. That minimum that we said was the arba, which may be mishaleshet into 12. Because ilote machi, I mean, obviously means that, because what are you going to be telling me? You're going to be telling me that a lulav doesn't have any shear and that you could use the smallest possible lulav? Even Menachem Sklar in his worst dreams doesn't have a lulav. Yeah, gosh, he's really dreaming. Doesn't wake up, Menachem. Doesn't have a lulav that's that small. So obviously it says beferish in the Mishnah. A lulav needs a shear of shlosha tfachim, kedela naneabo, and it's kosher. So we add, of course, uchedela nanea. So the lulav has to be enough to be menanea above the other meaning. Anyway, so it must mean, therefore, eno shir lamala. Doesn't matter how tall your lulav is, but it certainly does matter that it needs to have that minimum of shir shloshet vachim kedei lenanea. So that's what it means by the tzitzit. Ochanami, eno shir lamala, avo yesh lo shir lamata, must certainly mean that same idea. Let's just finish this next lines because they have directly bearing on the word tzitzit. Tana rabbanan tzitzit. Since the Torah calls the mitzvah tzitzit, tzitzit doesn't mean all of this fancy stuff with the gedilim and so on. Tzitzit means moose hairs. It means an anaf. V'cheinu omer, it says in the Navi Beferish, v'yikacheni b'tzitzit roshi. So he grabbed a lock of hair, and that means that it's loose, right? So if that's the case, so we're considering it to be, if it's a lock, then it's like a fringe, so it has something that's connected. So Abaye Yomer, that means, however, that you need to keep it both separate, as we said, that it's tzitz, so that it's looking. It's very similar to the way that these goyim in our times, in his time, used to wear their hair. So how did they used to wear their hair? They let the hair grow long, and then at the end, they would put in a braid. So it's the opposite of tzitzit, but it's partially braided, and it's partially loose. So you have to make sure that the part of the tzitzis that are not braided, they should be individualized. Don't let them just get all together in a mush. And you should be mefarid your tzitzis. V'tzarech lefaruda ki tzutzita de'armoy. And as you know, there's a beautiful remez to this in the word tzitzit. Tzadik yafrid tzitziotav tamid. A tzadik is always separating his tzitzit to be mekayim this mimer of Abaye. Okay, gentlemen, it's been so much fun being with you on this Mitzvah Shabbos. And Baruch Hashem, it's been a quiet Mitzvah Shabbos. Hinei El Yeshua Siyef, Tach V'lo Efchad, and may we be Zocha to this Yishlatu HaYudim, Ema B'Soneyam, as the perfect time coming along, as modern-day Haman's in Poras shall have the same lovely end as the other Haman in Poras had. Let everybody get out there in the streets and hang him up like Mussolini. So we're looking forward to wonderful Nisim and Niflaot, That should actually enhance our Purim. Kol tov, everyone. And in the El Yeshua, see if tach v'lo efchad.